Welcome to Contrast. Richard Bennett, converted Catholic priest, now evangelist, presents Contrast. Your comments and questions will be greatly appreciated. Permission is given to record and copy the entire message. And now, here is Richard Bennett.
The topic I'm dealing with is true and false worship, the cross and the mass. Now, personally, this is very difficult for me. 48 years I did worship in the Mass devoutly, thinking that it was the centerpiece. And I know for you who are from a Roman Catholic background, or those of you who still are Catholics, that this is central to your worship. But like Christ Jesus, we have to hold to the truth. We have to hold to His words and the written word He has given us in the Holy Spirit. What biblically is worship? Worship is that communion with God in true harmony, recognizing who He is in fellowship with Him, that glorifies Him in spirit and in truth. Something wonderful. Before the fall, Adam had perfect. He had perfect communication with God, with one restriction, and that was that he was not to eat of the forbidden fruit. The fall came and Adam rebelled, and then Adam was left trying to cover himself, to do a works righteousness. And then God initiated how worship was to be established. By grace, through faith. It is right the way through Scripture. And the promise of one to come whose heel would be bruised in Genesis 3:15. God promised the perfect Lamb right through the Old Testament. He established the pattern for worship, trusting on Him who was to come. The wonder of worship that God establishes by grace through faith. And we see that all alien worship, like Adam's fig leaf, or anything like Nadab and Abihu making strange fire, or even Cain's grain offering, was not acceptable. And right through the Old Testament and the New Testament, we're told that false worship is spiritual adultery or fornication. That's how serious it is to see that worship is established by God. What is the basis for true worship? The basis is that there must be conformity between the all-holy God and the creature. Because God is the thrice holy one, and we are unholy creatures, there must be conformity. Again, by grace, through faith, it is God that gives this conformity. This is what it means to be in right relationship with Him, to be truly saved. And so we see His commandment to worship God in the beauty of holiness. How can we do that? It is only if we accept by His grace through faith that we are covered with His righteousness. And that was the exact words of Isaiah in Isaiah 61, verse 10. I'm covered with the robe of righteousness. And Isaiah says in 45, one shall say in that day, my righteousness is in Him. And look at the prayers in the Old Testament, for example, in Psalm 71. I will make mention of thy righteousness, thine only. It is God's righteousness that the Old Testament believer believed in. He looked on to who God was, and it is summarized so beautifully in chapter 23 of Jeremiah. What does Jeremiah say? He says, God, our righteousness. That's where we stand to worship. not looking unto works or anything that we do, but his grace through faith, which is spiritual application of what he has done. And then Paul in the New Testament says this is manifested. Romans chapter 3, verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness which of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon them that believe, there is no difference. God's righteousness is upon you so that you can worship him in the beauty of holiness. This is so wonderful. And are there restrictions? Yes, indeed, there are restrictions. God is quite clear that while we are in conformity to him, there are very serious restrictions to worship. Worship is to be done according to his law. The law is summarized in the Ten Commandments and written in our hearts, as was prophesied in Jeremiah 31. In the New Testament, it is written in our hearts. What does the first commandment say? It says there is only one object that you can worship. There is only one true God who will have no strange gods, no other gods before him. And so no object or no other being may be worshipped. You cannot talk to, invoke any other creature, and you cannot venerate or worship anyone else except the one true God. So that is the restriction that is of absolute importance. Equally important is the fact, that we are not to worship this one true God sanctioned in the first commandment. We're not to worship him in any material representation. The second commandment, forbidding the likeness of anything divine, either to be made or to be served, to be worshipped. And so that is explicitly clear in the second commandment, that you are not to try and contain God in anything physical, or you're not to bow down or worship anything as the true God. The very error that Aaron made in Exodus 32, where he made the golden calf to have a feast to the God of Israel, trying to use the golden calf as a medium, as an intermediary between the true God and his people. That is forbidden, and so there are restrictions in the Old Testament. Even amidst the paraphernalia of the Old Testament, we had the ceremonial law and the temple and all the paraphernalia. You see that God commanded the people to have their heart on him, not in the physical things. In the words of the Apostle Paul, the physical things were our schoolmaster to lead to Christ. They were a shadow of the things to come, but not the reality. They were the promise which was fulfilled in the person of Christ. So even in the midst of the Old Testament paraphernalia, what do we find? The prayers, the constant theme, like in Psalm 18, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my strength, my high tower. The wonder of God being the center of where I put focus my faith. That is the Old Testament. And coming into the New Testament, we're told the wonder of this worship we have of him. In the words of the Apostle Peter, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. A spiritual house offering spiritual praise. Where? In Christ Jesus. That is New Testament worship, and that's what the New Testament believers did. They were true to the doctrine of the apostles, the true gospel, to fellowship with God and each other, and to the breaking of bread and prayers in Acts 2 and verse 42. There is no hint given of relying on material things or objects, but it is always, as Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, blessed